The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we're going to be exploring a great organization that's based here in the Hudson Valley, and they are People USA. People USA is a peer-run mental health nonprofit that creates, provides, and promotes innovative crisis response and wellness services. All of People USA's services are developed and operated by people who have personally overcome mental health issues, addiction, or trauma. This makes them an invaluable addition and alternative to the traditional behavioral health care system. And we're very fortunate to have the CEO of People USA, Steve Micchio. Steve is Chief Executive Officer of People USA. Inspired and driven by his personal lived experience, Steve has spent over two decades creating, providing, and promoting innovative crisis response services and systems level improvements across the United States and internationally that raise the bar on customer service, person-centered communication, trauma-informed care, empathy, and positive expectations for people's recovery and wellness outcomes. Steve's unique models and approaches significantly reduce hospital utilization, incarceration rates, and overall healthcare spending. So, Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Steve, one of the things I read in the notes on your biography that really intrigued me has nothing to do with mental health services or trauma-informed care. And that is the fact that one of the things that you enjoy doing when you're not working is drumming, fishing, gardening, hiking, and rocket building. That's a great one. I love that. I mean, I was an early participant in the Estes Model Rocket Club when I was a kid.
That's it.
I mean, I still
build them. and I lose every one of them. Yeah, I've had some really nice ones that have gone up, and I actually shoot them off on the campus of New Paltz College, and I seem to lose every one of them somehow.
Oh, wow. And I'm sure, and your daughters do that with you, I'm sure, right?
My daughters, my stepson, everybody, yep.
Wonderful. So, Steve, before we get into talking about specific services and programs that People USA offers, tell us a bit about why and when it got started and what its core mission is.
Yeah, People USA originally was Projects to Empower and Organize the Psychiatrically Labeled. And our logo used to be capital P-E-O-P-L and a lowercase e incorporated. And it really grew on the grounds of Hudson River Psychiatric Center in the 80s. And as they were starting to deinstitutionalize and let people out into the communities, half of the money would go back to the state and half of the money would go to a community for community services and mental health. And back then in 1987, a group of people that were former patients at the psychiatric center were given $10,000 to open a storefront and open what was called a drop-in center. And the State Office of Mental Health wanted them to be advocates, but also offer people a safe haven. And the first place we opened was in Kingston, New York. And that was our first storefront. The mission back then was to be primarily an advocacy organization for the community mental health services that were going to be built up because of the closure of the psychiatric center. And that was their primary focus then. Now our core mission really moved into educating, supporting, and empowering people in communities to understand, manage, and overcome mental health, addiction, and social determinants of health challenges. It grew into a whole health approach of advocacy, but also to provide those supports as well. So we started out as advocacy. it was easy for us to throw rocks at the mental health system and the substance use systems and say how bad they were at what they did. But I had to really be honest with myself and say, is that all I want to do? Or do I want to actually show maybe how it could be done better? And that's what I chose to do, was start designing services within the organization.
Right. And I think, you know, we find across the board in our public health messaging that if you simply remind people of how bad something is or what the problems and challenges are without also offering some positive, proactive alternatives, it really does more harm than good, it seems.
Exactly, it does. And I'm very solution focused. And my lived experience was that I was in a psychiatric hospital. That's where I was, you know, first diagnosed. That's where I had my first real break. And when I went through that experience, it was dehumanizing. It was embarrassing. It was all the stigma that goes into everyone's, you know, perceived definitions of mental illness. Mm-hmm. And I went in the hospital as Steve Michio, but came out a mental patient thinking, wow, it's not going to be the same for me anymore. I don't know what my life is going to, you know, entail going forward. And that's what really brought me into the frame of working and advocating and designing systems of care that actually work for people. Common sense approaches to excellent care is what I always talk about.
That's an amazing turnaround. And, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, for families or individuals or families who are experiencing either a physiological health crisis or a behavioral health crisis or addiction crisis, for the first time, it can be really bewildering and overwhelming. I mean, to just, even those of us who work within the system have a very, very difficult time wrapping our minds around how the system works and how to navigate our way through it. So yeah, having people that, you know, have been there, done that, but also are, you know, developing creative solutions is to me an amazing thing. So how does that actually, what does that look like? So can you give us like a real life example of what that might look like for an individual or a family through people?
Sure. All of our staff are highly trained, but all of my staff are people with lived experience. So whenever we engage people, we engage them with kindness, empathy, and understanding. And we feel very comfortable asking permission that we share a little bit of our story so that they know they're not alone. They're not dealing with something, you know, alone. And I learned that through my own experience. I thought I was the only person with bipolar disorder until I went to a bipolar support group. And then I was like, wow, this is incredible. And it was so empowering and built my self-determination and lent me that vision of hope that helped me to recover in a way that was very healthy. So that's one of our ways of doing it. So when you come to one of our respite houses or our stabilization center or any other services, we smile and say, we're glad you're here. We're glad you found us because we want to help. We can't help. We believe that we can make the difference. You know, we our mantra is hope greets you at the door and recovery is the expectation. And we truly all believe that. Nice. So that's how it starts.
Mm-hmm. That's really great. And how is the organization funded? I mean, do you charge individuals for your services, or how does that work?
No, at this point we don't. We are starting to move into a Medicaid billing structure for our crisis houses and for our stabilization center and some other new services that the Office of Mental Health is introducing called core services. We're moving into that, but everything right now for everyone is free. And I'm going to maintain that philosophy and that value of if people can't afford it, they're not going to be turned away. And so we, you know, I'm also very business minded on how do you create those types of opportunities. But right now we're funded mainly through the State Office of Mental Health, a little bit through the Office of Addiction Services. And then county governments are also funding us along with other foundation, you know, work that we do too in getting the funding. Mm-hmm. So that's primarily how we get funded.
And do you operate exclusively in the Hudson Valley area, or is it now a national organization?
Well, we're national in consulting. We're international in consulting. We're a state provider though. So we are in the Warren, Washington, up near Lake George area, all the way down to Westchester. We serve 9 counties. So it's along the Hudson River corridor, I guess is the best way to describe where our services are. But we are starting to expand with new opportunities in those areas as well, in other areas of New York as well. Mm-hmm.
And Steve, you touched on the Crisis Stabilization Center and the respite houses. And we'd like to discuss those in great detail when we come back for a very short break. We're running out of a little bit of time in our first segment, but we very much want to hear about those. And they seem to be very innovative, and I'm sure our listeners want to know more. So we'll be back after these short words. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health, advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.4.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today we're talking with Steve Michio from People USA. They are a great organization working in many areas of New York State and consulting nationally and internationally. And Steve, before the break, you touched on something known as a crisis stabilization center and respite housing. Can you explain to our listeners what those models are and how they work?
Sure. Let me explain the respite house first. This is something I designed 22 years ago. And what I understood was that a lot of people go to the emergency room because it's open 24/7. And if you're having any type of crisis, that's usually what people think about is going to an emergency room. I did research on emergency rooms and inpatient admissions and things like that, and found that 2/3 of the people that go to emergency rooms for mental health crisis care don't need that level of care. They need something different. And 1/3 are usually appropriate for that medical intervention and maybe that inpatient work. So what I designed were a very home-like alternative to psych ERs and inpatient units. And these are houses. These are houses that people can go to. We're available and open 24/7. It's 100% operated by my staff, who are people with lived experience. And it helps people, when they come to the house, start to look at their crisis a little differently, because a lot of people that come to the houses have gone through that cycle of home to crisis to hospital to home to crisis to hospital. It seems to continuously repeat for them. This is like a bed and breakfast where people can come and be comfortable. They can be engaged by our staff that are very well-trained and understand that a lot of times when you're in crisis, you're not thinking clearly. So they can help you think through the crises. They can help you relax. They can talk about your wellness. They can, you know, lend you the vision of hope that you probably need when you come to the house. And they can work on a plan that's going to help you in the future avoid that crisis and break that cycle. And we've been 97% successful in keeping people from having to go back to emergency rooms. So it's been a very successful model that I started in 2001. And now there are a couple hundred of these houses across the nation and in different parts of the world. And I've helped to open a lot of those. But it's a better alternative than having to go to that emergency room and re-traumatize yourself or go to an inpatient unit. People can stay up to 7 days. It is free. And in that environment, they have professional music instruments. They have professional art equipment. They have things that also kind of remind you that you're probably someone with some other skills and you're not just a diagnosis. So we personalize that engagement and that experience for people to let them know they're important. We want to listen to them. We want to be empathetic with them, but we want to educate them on better alternatives and outcomes going forward. And that might even include connecting them in a better way with their community providers. If they don't have that strong relationship there, and we also advocate, you know, to help them with that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, working in the opioid world, as I do, you know, we developed the concept of the high risk mitigation team, which is designed to follow people through the multi-year continuum of treatment, care, and recovery, knowing full well that there are inevitable setbacks. And, you know, it's an attempt to break that cycle of treat, release, repeat that you mentioned, which I think is, you know, endemic to the way, you know, the opioid crisis has been handled over the years. And I think breaking that cycle, especially with individuals who are, you know, who are in that, you know, persistently caught up in that cycle is really critical.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And so tell us about the crisis stabilization model. I know that there is one in Dutchess County. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about it. I've heard a lot about it. How does it work? Who's involved? How did it get started? And so on.
So that's really everything I do is my pride and joy, but that's really my pride and joy because it's a 24/7 facility that is accessible to everybody that's in crisis. And it's an alternative to emergency rooms. Once again, it's not so much a medical model, but we do have clinicians there. We have case managers there. We have CASACs there, which are people with addiction, certified addiction specialists. We have certified peer specialists. It's primarily peer run. And people can come in crisis, and it's across the lifespan. You know, so we've had the youngest we've had is a 3-year-old. The oldest we've had is a person that was 100 years old that are experiencing some kind of emotional or, you know, substance abuse or even health crises of some sort. And they can come to the center, and within those 23 hours and 59 minutes that we're licensed for, they will get into a community service that will meet the needs to address that crisis. And we guarantee that. So if somebody is coming in for a medically supervised detox, we can get them to the provider who are partners of ours within those 24 hours. A rehab, same thing. A mental health service, the same thing. Healthcare, the same. So the reason I designed it the way we did was that many people often are in crisis and they have to wait and wait and wait. And I don't believe people should have to wait for care when they're experiencing those levels of crises, you know, of their perceived crises. And this was a design that I created based on all the work I've been doing around the country on something that I knew would work if it's done well. And I have to say it's done well. It is 100% voluntary. The other piece of this is that I've also trained over 700 officers in Dutchess County about the crisis stabilization, but also a 40-hour training called Crisis Intervention Team Training, where they learn in a 40-hour week how to engage more safely people that are dealing with addiction, substance abuse, or mental health crises, or even developmental disabilities, and how to get them to the services rather than just bring them to jail or to the emergency room. So this has been an extremely effective center that we created. And now the Office of Mental Health has adopted it and is putting licensing to it. And it's going to grow in our communities, which is really great.
Yeah, that's really great. And starting out with the very first encounter with the police is so essential I mean, you know, everywhere across the nation, more and more communities are searching for better models of dealing with people who are in crisis. And there's so many more people in that boat right now. So Steve, do your people staff the center, or do you have
community? It's primarily my staff, but I have other partner agencies helping out. So we have Aster, Children and Family Services there with a clinician. We have Mental Health America with their case managers that are there. We have a vet-to-vet program that comes in and as needed. We have now the faith-based community is a part of it, where they come in and they get to meet guests too and help them in that, you know, general area and domain. We're inviting as many providers into the center as we can, so that it becomes more of a wellness hub and people can get those services immediately and actually meet the people that are going to be working with them in the community. So it's a very good collaboration of provider agencies at the center.
And has the center met your expectations versus the original vision for it, exceeded it? And what lessons might you have learned along the way?
Yeah, it's now exceeding. When we first opened, the county, Dutchess County, was actually running it and in charge of it, even though I had designed it for the county. They wanted to be the lead agency running it. And a couple of years into it, they came to me and said, you know, we're not as good as we think you could do with the center. And I said, yeah, you're right.
Not as nimble, not as fast and flexible.
Right. And so I gladly took it over a year and a half ago. And since we've taken it over, it has exceeded my expectations because the staff are amazing. The people that come in, we get constant testimonies of people that will tell us they've never been treated like that before. They've never been connected to services that quickly before. They've never been asked the questions that we asked them before. So it's a very different approach, but again, it's that common sense, empathic approach to getting to know the individual to provide the best quality service that we can get them to in the community. So it's definitely exceeded my expectations.
And Steve, you know, I asked a question of Seth McGee from Sina Cutson with respect to climate change, which is a present and growing public health crisis. So with the upsurge in behavioral health issues and mental health issues across all demographic groups, the additional stressors brought on by COVID, are we investing our resources in the right places? And are you optimistic about where we are doing enough? And where do you see us going from here?
Yeah, I don't think we're investing appropriately in the services that are needed. I think a lot more of it needs to be put on the front end for our younger children and adolescents to prevent them from graduating into a mental health or adult substance use system. I think there's a lot more that has to be and can be done in the schools, also with family education around mental health and substance use awareness. And I also think that we shouldn't all be focused so heavily on crisis. And that's where the field seems to be right now, because there is so much crisis.
Right.
We should really try to create that overall prevention and wellness.
Right.
That's where the resources should go.
Right. Otherwise, you end up maybe treading water. And Steve, you know, when the topics are as so interesting as this one is, the time goes really fast. So we are rapidly running out of time. Tell our listeners where they can go for more information about People USA or anything we've discussed today.
Yeah, please go to our website. It's people-usa.org, and you'll learn everything about our site, all our services, where we are, how to get in touch with us, and we'd love to help, you know, everyone in the community.
Well, this is outstanding work, Steve. A credit to you and your staff and your partners for doing this amazing work. So innovative, so creative, and so and you're so passionate about it. So thank you. We are very grateful. And that's about all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.